grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with us all. Amen. From the Gospel for this Sunday, St. Luke chapter 17, verses 15 and 16. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice. And he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. Now he was a Samaritan. I think that most everybody knows our Lord's parable about the Good Samaritan. In the Gospel read on this Sunday, we see a grateful Samaritan. And the verse just read tells us that when this Samaritan realized that he had been healed of leprosy, he came back to Jesus and he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. Now, when we take a look at the original language here, we see that the word for giving thanks is in fact the Greek word from which we get the word Eucharist, which is one of the oldest and most beautiful names for the sacrament of Holy Communion. Already in the early second century, the martyred Bishop of Antioch, Saint Ignatius, spoke of the sacrament as the Eucharist. So let's think for a few moments this morning about the sacrament as the Eucharist, the Holy Eucharist, which means the Holy Thanksgiving. The grateful Samaritan gave thanks, and at the Last Supper, before he gave to his disciples his body and his blood, the Lord Jesus gave thanks. He did that because it was the custom of all devout Jews to bless the food and drink of which they were about to partake by giving thanks. And this giving of thanks was therefore a necessary part of the Passover meal, which commemorated the liberation of God's ancient people Israel from slavery in Egypt. In remembrance of the mighty acts of that Exodus, unleavened bread was eaten and several cups of wine were drunk. And so before sharing the bread with his disciples, the Lord Jesus gave thanks, and before sharing the cup of wine with them, he again gave thanks. And so from the very beginning, the supper of the Lord always includes the giving of thanks. One of the very oldest parts of the Christian liturgy are the words of the pastor, "Let us give thanks to the Lord our God," with the congregation's response, "It is right to give him thanks and praise." And then the pastor goes on to say, "It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks." And only after this giving of thanks do we then go on to hear the words of Christ, which make of the bread and wine his body and his blood. And so, from earliest times, the Church has called this sacrament the Eucharist, the Holy Eucharist, the Holy Thanksgiving. The grateful Samaritan gave thanks to the Lord Jesus because he had been healed from leprosy. You may remember that leprosy was not only a terrible sickness for those who suffered from it, the fear of contracting leprosy separated lepers from other people, divided them from other people. Indeed, it isolated them. And we in fact see this in today's gospel, in which St. Luke tells us that the 10 lepers stood at a distance when they begged the Lord Jesus to have mercy on them. Leprosy was an isolating disease. And much like leprosy, sin not only damages yourself, it also sows seeds of division and enmity. And that's why in the epistle for this day, when St. Paul speaks of the works of the flesh, meaning the works of fallen human nature, he doesn't only speak of sexual immorality, drunkenness, orgies. He also speaks of strife, jealousy, rivalries, dissensions, fits of anger, and envy, those sins which drive wedges between us, divide us from one another, in the real sense, isolate us from one another. In forgiving our sins, the Lord Jesus not only removes every barrier between ourselves and our Maker, he also removes the barriers with one another. And he in fact does this in every Eucharist, because in every Eucharist there is a threefold communion, First of all, there is the communion of the bread and wine with Christ's body and blood. St. Paul writes to the church at Corinth, the cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? And then through Christ's body and blood, there is the most intimate communion between ourselves and our Savior. And then finally, through that communion with our Lord, there is also communion with one another. As St. Paul goes on to say, we who are many are one body because we all partake of one bread. The grateful Samaritan was not only healed of leprosy, but in being healed of leprosy, he was restored to community, no longer set apart, but included, made one with other people. And so are we in every Holy Communion. The sin which separates us from God and from one another is fully and freely forgiven. And so we're united with one another as we joyfully give God thanks and praise. The Holy Eucharist, the Holy Thanksgiving, the Communion, is the beating heart of the Church's life. And thanksgiving is, or most certainly should be, at the heart of our daily life, as those who through the sacrifice of Jesus have been ransomed, healed, restored, forgiven. And isn't it the failure to be thankful, the loss of a spirit of gratitude, that lies at the heart of so much of human brokenness and even despair? Satan, the old evil foe, takes delight in robbing us of thankfulness, of the spirit of gratitude. He's an expert at filling our vision with all that happens to be wrong with ourselves, wrong with the churches, wrong with our country, wrong with the world. And when our vision is filled with all that, gratitude can die and thanksgiving fade away. For that kind of sickness, thanksgiving is the best medicine. The thanksgiving that is the Holy Eucharist, the Holy Thanksgiving celebrated here in church every Lord's Day, and also the thanksgiving that should mark each day of our Christian journey. You may remember that the daily morning and evening prayers Dr. Luther provides in his catechism, in fact, begin with the words, "I thank you, my Heavenly Father." For as has been said at the Holy Eucharist down through all the centuries, it is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks. I love the words of that godly 17th century parson, George Herbert, who wrote, "Thou that hast given so much to me, give one thing more, a grateful heart whose pulse shall be thy praise. Amen. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen." And having heard the word of God, let us confess our faith in the words of the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ.